Good evening, and welcome to the Safilo Group conference call on the first half 2016 results. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements based on current expectations and projects of the group in relation to future events. Due to their specific nature, these statements are subject to inherent risks and uncertainties as they depend on certain circumstances and facts, most of which being beyond the control of the group. Therefore, actual results could differ, even to a significant extent, with respect to those reported in the statements. Today's participants are Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Graehsler, Chief Financial Officer, Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Ms. Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer. Ms. Delgado, you may now begin.
Good evening to everyone, and thank you for attending the call today on our results of the first six months of 2016. Since we spoke here last time in May on our quarter one, we have seen a strong sales acceleration in quarter two. Both of our total portfolio to +2% growth versus year ago, and of our going forward portfolio to +9%, all in constant rates. As a consequence, our first half sales results recover from the difficult first quarter, and we report a going forward portfolio growth of +5% for the first half, which on a pure wholesale basis is actually +6.8% for the first half of the year. This sales momentum was accompanied by a strong progress on our important operational transformation, as well as on cost savings projects. Specifically, we recovered a considerable part of the sales under delivery accumulated in the first quarter that, as you remember, was driven by the service shortfalls. Those had prevented us to fully leverage the sales opportunities that we had on our order book at the time. We are now halfway through the transition year out of the Gucci license. Our total business results show the impact of the expected Gucci decline. In quarter two, the growth of our going forward brands more than offset that decline of Gucci, as well as of the brands that we had exited at the end of the first semester of last year. Therefore, we can say that during the first six months of this transition year, the decline of Gucci and exit brands on the one side, and the accelerated growth of the going forward brands substantially offset each other. Our going forward portfolio shows strong progress. When looking at the pure wholesale business going forward, the progress is very strong. That is what we ultimately consider the key representation of our long-term strategic core business. The going forward progress was driven by the strong performance of the strategic license brands across all our consumer segments and levels of positioning. Our own core brands recorded mixed performance. Polaroid started improving in quarter two, with its new core collections responding well to our focused marketing activities, on which I will comment further at the end. We also concluded the integration of Polaroid with the closure of Vail, with important positive supply chain and product quality impacts that are key to enable Polaroid's further growth forward. Smith had a soft quarter two, while still growing in first half, driven by the market contraction in the North American sports channel, even though it continued to build market share behind its strong product collections. We progressed with the Smith expansion into bike and overall sport expansion into Europe, led by our new global sports channel capability. E-commerce is presently the best performing channel for Smith in North America. On Carrera, overall results remained subdued, while North America showed continued growth in prescription frames. While we are qualifying our stylistic direction for the brand via the Maverick collection in the prime target markets of Italy and Iberia. The new Maverick collection is turning better than the average Carrera products, yet still not enough to offset their continuing softness, while the optical business remained substantially stable. As regards our industrial and operational performance, we restored product availability about back to normal levels as of June, and have by now recovered the vast majority of our back orders. The significant operational interventions that we discussed in May were executed as per our 2020 manufacturing strategy. I remind you that that strategy includes, one, the insourcing of production into Safilo's worldwide plant network, both as regards brands as well as steps of the manufacturing flows. Number two, the reshoring of production into Italy. And number three, the simplification of the manufacturing flows. And for certain consumer segments like mass cool, and as shown by our Swatch or Havaianas productions, it involves the automatization of our production. And number four, establishing IT-enabled planning capability. In this context, we increased capacity by plus 25% in 3 months in our Italian plants of Longarone, Santa Maria Martignacco, and Lenti near Bergamo through a combination of adding equipment, hiring, and extending working time, plus strengthening the technical capability and simplification of our production flows. The interventions also focused on step-changing planning and management systems and capability. And finally, we further improved our product and process engineering capability and output. I take this opportunity to recognize very specially this work of our over 2,000 Safilo people in our four Italian plants, where the interventions continue as we speak during the whole summer and forward. Moving to our gross profit margin, it stayed essentially flat in the first half. And below gross margin, we accelerated our cost savings programs that are based on structural operational simplification in order to improve our overheads productivity sustainably going forward. At the same time, we have sharpened our investment on our own core brands, and both actions should enable us to improve our operational leverage the more the top line acceleration materializes. Our adjusted EBITDA declined 7% in the first half after being down minus 22.6% in quarter one. We increased our EBITDA plus 9.7% in quarter two, recording a meaningful recovery. Bottom line, our adjusted net result for the first half year more than doubled compared to last year, reaching 22.9 million euro. And this was driven by the impact of positive total net financial charges and the lower adjusted tax rate. Our balance sheet finally remained sound. During quarter two, and in line with our plans for the year, we started increasing CapEx, investing in the modernization of our plants, and insourcing of volume. I now hand over to Gert for the detailed analysis.
Thank you, Luisa. To recap on our total sales performance in the first 6 months of the year, total revenues equaled 651.1 million euros, down 2.1% at constant exchange rates, with our core wholesale business recording 612.4 million euros versus 627.9 million in the same period of last year, down 1% at constant exchange rates. To this performance, Europe was the main positive contributor, up 6.1% at constant exchange rates. North America wholesale was flattish at minus 0.4%. Asia Pacific remained very negative at minus 27.8%, while the rest of the world was up 2%. Solstice, our retail chain in the U.S., with 118 stores at the end of June, remained an important drag to our total results, with sales of 38.7 million euros, dropping 17.7% at constant exchange rates. This performance continued to reflect on one side store closures, which were 11 in the period, and on the other the continuing negative like-for-like trends due to lower store traffic and the promotional business environment. In the second quarter, our total business reached 349.5 million euros, flattish at current exchange rates and increasing 2% at constant exchange rates. Our wholesale revenues reached 327.6 million, up 3.7% at constant exchange rates compared to 323.4 million in quarter two of 2015, largely offsetting the Gucci decline, as well as, on a consolidated basis, the slowdown of the retail business in the U.S., which was down 18.2% at constant exchange rates also in the second quarter. Looking at the wholesale performance by region, Europe was an even stronger driver in the second quarter, up double digits, 13.2%. North America wholesale increased 3%. Asia was at minus 27.3%, while the rest of the world, made up primarily by our IMEA region and Latin America together, posted an increase of 9.5% at constant exchange rates. Let's now look into the next slide at how the performance of our going forward brands portfolio evolved. I remind you that the performance of the going forward brands excludes from this year and the base of last year all the brands we stopped and will stop servicing, thus mainly Gucci and the small Kering brands. So our going forward business closed in the first 6 months of the year up 5.3% at constant exchange rates, accelerating from the plus 1% recorded in Q1 to an increase of 9% in the second quarter. More meaningfully, if we just look at our wholesale business, the increase equaled 6.8% in the semester and 11.2% in the second quarter. In more details by region, always at constant exchange rates, half year one sales of our going forward brands grew 11.8% in Europe, 18.6% in quarter two, driven by all our core markets, in particular Italy, France, Germany, UK, and Spain, which improved after a weak start of the year. Eastern Europe, including Russia, was also a growth driver, and we are very pleased with the progress of our portfolio in these countries. Growth was broad-based also by channel, with key accounts, trios, chains, and boutiques all positively contributing. Importantly, our strong commercial execution in Europe continues to be supported by the accelerating implementation of our category management system, SMILE, in an increasing number of doors and customers. As we had anticipated in November last year, this year we upgraded the system as part of our iWay program, going live with a new platform, SMILE 2.0, which has further enhanced the flexibility of the program and thus our opportunity to customize it towards our clients' needs. So far, we've been having very positive feedback from our customers, and we have almost 4,700 doors activated as of now, which is 50% more than in the same period of last year. This is, of course, an amazing tool we will continue rolling out as it perfectly matches our way to do business now, which is a modern business approach to manage commercial relationships for win-win partnerships and virtual integration with always more customers. So we look forward to expanding it also further across the world. Moving on to North America. North America was up 2% in half year one, 3.1% in the second quarter, driven by the positive performance of the wholesale business, which you can see increasing 5.4% in the semester and 7.6% in the second quarter. Positive performance by our going forward portfolio was particularly evident in department stores, notwithstanding also a very resilient performance of our core business in the 3O channels and the progress we're making in key chains. In Asia, sales performance remained a key restrainer also for the going forward portfolio, so sales down 14.4% at constant exchange rates in the first half year and 14.2% in the second quarter. The external conditions remain difficult, particularly in Hong Kong and Korea, while on the other hand, in China and Japan, our internal capability ramp-up is starting to give us confidence in our ability to progress, even though results are not quite yet visible. And finally, Australia and Southeast Asia, as previously, really remain our bright spots in the region. In the rest of the world, which includes IMEA, this is India, Middle East and Africa countries, and Latin America, sales of going forward brands were up 7.6% in the semester and 12.3% in the second quarter, reflecting a very strong performance of all our Middle East and African markets, and in Q2, also better performance in Latin America, where along with the continuing strength of Mexico, Brazil recorded improved trends on the back of our capability progress there. Moving to our industrial and operating performance, in the first semester, gross profit margin was basically in line with half year one 2015, standing at 60.6% of sales, while it contracted by 70 basis points in the second quarter to 60.2% of sales. The going forward wholesale business benefited from the positive price mix effect of sales and an increased fixed cost absorption in our plants, while the decline of Gucci and of the retail business, coupled with some negative impact from foreign exchanges, were all dilutive drivers. At the operating level, in the first half of the year, we had a total of 7.1 million euros of non-recurring costs, 6.1 at the EBITDA level, of which 5.9 million related to the previously announced group overhead cost savings initiatives, such as the planned integration of Vale of Leven, Polaroid lens production into Safilo's China-based supply network, and 1.2 million euros related to commercial restructuring costs in the EMEA region. Excluding these items, the adjusted EBITDA of the first semester equaled 58.3 million compared to 62.7 million in the same period of last year, with the adjusted margin moving to 8.9% of sales from 9.3% in half year one 2015. In the period, the adjusted EBITDA of our core wholesale business was actually in line with last year, precisely 435,000 euros higher, reaching 59 million euros, while the adjusted EBITDA margin of the wholesale business was 30 basis points higher to 9.6% of revenues from 9.3% in 2015. Looking at the second quarter, the total adjusted EBITDA increased to 33.1 million compared to 30 million in Q2 of 2015, with the adjusted margin increasing 90 basis points to 9.5% of sales from 8.6% in the second quarter of 2015. On a wholesale level, the adjusted EBITDA was 31.8 million, which was up 22% compared to the 26 million recorded in Q2 of 2015. And the adjusted wholesale EBITDA margin was 160 basis points higher, reaching 9.7% of total revenues from 8.1% in the second quarter of 2015. The positive impact from growing our top line is complemented by the progress on the cost savings programs, which we set forward to decrease the bulk of our overhead costs while refocusing our selling and marketing expenses on the brand market combinations, which are better responding to specific initiatives. And overall, as previously mentioned, Gucci and the retail business were key restrainers in the period. Moving to the next slide and going below the operating line, in the first half of 2016, net financial charges were positive 800,000 euros compared to the negative 22.7 million recorded in half one of 2015. In the slide, we provide the key drivers that amounted to this positive dynamic. Specifically, net interest charges declined to 3.2 million euros from 4.2 million in half one of 2015, alongside a decrease also of our general bank expenses. To offset these two declining costs, we registered 3.8 million of positive net exchange rate differences and a 3.9 million positive impact from the fair value valuation of the option component embedded in the equity-linked bonds. This accounting item was a negative 4.9 million last year. This dynamic, coupled with a lower adjusted tax rate of 39.8% versus 47.8% in H1 of 2015, enabled us to post a group adjusted net result of 22.9 million euros, which is up 130.6% compared to the adjusted net result of 9.9 million recorded in H1 of last year. I would then conclude with the key drivers of our free cash flow and net debt at the end of the period. In the first 6 months of the year, free cash flow absorbed 9.3 million euros. It was positive 51.6 million in first half of 2015, or 21.6 when adjusting for the first of the three compensation payments of 30 million euros received in January 2015 from Kering. Cash flow from operating activities was positive for 13 million, benefiting from a 31.9 million positive flow from net income. Working capital absorbed 18.9 million, driven by an increase of trade receivables due to top-line acceleration in the second quarter and an increase in inventories, also reflecting the higher value of products in stock as we intensify production of our highest end and luxury brands in line with backlog orders and sales forecasts that we were seeing. Trade payables, which had decreased significantly in Q1, had a very significant increase in Q2, mainly reflecting the industrial activity of the period. Overall, net working capital incidence on net sales last 12 months was 24.3% in the semester, slightly better than the 24.7% in first half of last year. At the end of June, our cash flow from investing activities increased to 22.4 million euros, up 7 million compared to the same period of last year. And of this 7 million, roughly 5 million related to our increased capex on our product supply network and 2 million to our IT systems renewal iWay. On net debt, at the end of June 2016, we recorded 102.8 million euros, improving 6.3% compared to the euro to the 109.7 million euros at the end of March 2016, and 6.6% compared to the 110 million euros at the end of June 2015. The adjusted financial leverage stood at 1x EBITDA at the end of June 2016. I now hand back to Luisa for further inputs and conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Gert. I would like to briefly highlight three progresses that characterized the month since our last conversation in May. You will recall that one is the early renewal of Jimmy Choo, one of our fast-growing rocket brands, to the end of 2023. We announced this on May 16th. Another one is the progress in iWay, our IT-enabled work simplification global program. And this is regards to go live of demand planning in EMEA, which now gives us the ability to make demand forecasts that build on sales planning that went live in 2015 and brands inputs as well as statistical analysis. This is new for Safilo. And in turn, this demand planning becomes the input for distribution requirement planning that we have started to implement via DRP systems, and then supply planning that we have started to blueprint. By any measure, these are all key milestones in the systemic improvement of our delivery performance to reduce sustainably inventories and obsolescence costs. Let me now share perspective on a third topic, which is the progress of our proprietary brands, Polaroid's activities first over the past quarter. First, Polaroid gained momentum compared to the beginning of the year. We had two important initiatives hitting the ground in the period. We launched Polaroid's seasonal initiative, the Twist Collection, a colorful, flexible, and lightweight hero project, which responds to our strategy of providing consumers with fresh new ideas which move around Polaroid's core collection. And we launched Polaroid's brand new optical collection, 4 shapes x 5 designs at one price, fully coherent with the brand's strategy of making quality design affordable. Polaroid went out of home in a big way. As you can see from the pictures on this slide, we focused on the 5 key countries of Italy, Spain, France, UK, and Sweden, and built impactful installations and advertising from the UEFA fan zone in Champ de Mars in Paris to Piccadilly Circus in London. Then on Carrera, the first half year was all about Maverick. With this collection, we took another step in qualifying the stylistic direction of the brand, and we are today clear that for Carrera's son, it is key to offer multiple design options for different consumers, different markets, and different customers. Maverick is proving itself for a fashion-orientated target, while our timeless, bolder families are strong for whom Carrera's racing heritage is more prevalent. We're also clear that optical and RX ability for Sun are key pillars for Carrera and plan to continue to fuel that category, including Carrerino 14. Empowered by its new brand ambassador, Jared Leto, the Maverick campaigns are now broadly in stores, supported by heavy PR campaigns. And importantly, the brand is becoming increasingly relevant on the web as we are focusing our communication activities on the digital space, and investing very selectively on it, testing first, then reapplying successfully fast ideas and projects. Very encouragingly, we saw strong editorial responses to the Carrera brand and its campaign. You can see also some of those in the chart. And it shows that the story behind the brand, its bold history, and now projection through Jared Leto, are attractive in a cluttered market of eyewear commoditization. Smith, on its side, started to go bolder in terms of communication and well beyond North America. During the last quarter, we kicked off a new brand ambassador project in EMEA with David Luiz, the Brazilian football star of Paris Saint-Germain, as you can see in the chart. With the help of the new brand ambassadors and their excellent social engagement, we aim to leverage digital presence of the brand further, including e-commerce, also more in Europe, similar to what is already happening successfully in North America with the leading growth rates I commented before. You can also see on the chart that we continue to work on the expansion of the bike category, a fast-growing market that is planned to become a key growth driver for Smith globally. We are reapplying our leading approach for the snow category, in which, as you know, we are market leaders in the USA. Bringing to life the distinctive brand DNA and design language of Smith also on bike helmets and eyewear. We have a big amount of innovative new models, are now introducing two new bike helmets, one road, one mountain, designed for the everyday rider. On the right bottom side of the slide, you can see this special edition of bike helmets, performance and lifestyle sunglasses, which Smith developed in collaboration with famed Brazilian street artist, Bicicleta Sem Freio, graphically revamping the Overtake road bike helmet PVLOG, Arena Max interchangeable performance sunglasses, and in popular, the popular low-down lifestyle sunglasses with their signature psychedelic and vibrant style. Let me conclude with the last slide and with some of our best international product editorials. The point here is that I want to show you how our extensive brand portfolio is featured worldwide, and importantly, our brand portfolio stretches across the five consumer segments that we have identified as the where to play for Safilo. It stretches from the highest end atelier with Elisab and our own Oxido to fashion luxury with Dior, Celine, Jimmy Choo, Fendi, Givenchy, to a broader fashion luxury set like Boss and Max Mara, then covering upper contemporary with Marc Jacobs and Carrera, contemporary with Tommy Hilfiger, Kate Spade, Fossil, and mass cool with Polaroid and Havaianas, and finally sport outdoor inspired with Smith. We play in each segment and offer the most affordable quality eyewear in one, as well as the highest end, most exclusive eyewear in another. Each of these segments is relevant for a specific group of consumers across the world, and we play in each of them in the for the segment relevant way. Corporately, this diversification and specific differentiated targeting means the ability to balance our risks and opportunities, as well as a clear differentiation in terms of product, production, and distribution reflective of our 2020 strategies. This concludes our prepared remarks, and we now invite you to your questions and open the line, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. And we will now take our first question from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I have three questions. The first is related to your situation in Asia. In particular, you are still struggling also on the going forward portfolio. So I would like to understand when do you see, say, the opportunity to turn around the Asian market, and what is really behind this struggling performance quarter after quarter? The second question is on your wholesale performance in Q2. Clearly, you had also some disruption in the logistic in Q1. So I'm trying to understand how much is of the performance driven by catch-up in the deliveries, and how much is really the underlying trend. So maybe if you can provide some color on the order backlog, just understand what is the exit speed from Q2. And the third question, sorry, is on the net working capital. You were commenting related to the higher receivables, but also inventories were quite high, some 160 basis points up year on year. So back to the previous question, I'd like to understand if it is a matter of, say, it's related to an acceleration, the sales that you are saying, or if there is any issue in managing the inventories at the end of June.
Okay, thank you, Domenico. I will start maybe from the back, and then let's see with Teresa that we complemented. So in terms of working capital, we had an absorption both on the front of receivables and inventories. In terms of receivables, it's not something that worries us, because we had a big increase in the sales, and along with it, obviously, in the order recovery in the month of May and June. And with our normal payment terms, this is cash that is then typically collected in the third quarter, which also the seasonality of last year would show. And in fact, we are very pleased that compared to June last year and to December, our DSO ratio continues to improve. So on receivables, we think it is really just phasing, and we will catch that back. On the inventories, it is true that we've seen an increase. We've seen an increase particularly in value, so in terms of number of pieces, we're actually slightly decreasing. It is something that we still continue to work in a hyper-care mode, in a muscling mode, as we have said before. I think more and more, now that the systems are coming on stream, demand planning, as Luisa was saying, just went live in EMEA in the second quarter, then the other companies will roll it out in the next months. I think we will gradually move over to a more structural approach. I wouldn't say that the inventory increase now is something seasonal. I think it is something that we need to continue working very intentionally in the next 6 months of the year before we then should get into the more let's say, structured waters. With regards to the sales of the second quarter, as we have said, we did recover a large part of the availability issue that we had in the first quarter. We actually see that continuing also now going forward. I would say that probably broadly 3.5 points of the growth is driven by recovery of back orders in the second quarter. Then in terms of Asia, maybe just a brief perspective, I let Luisa then comment maybe a bit more on this. Asia, I mean, it remains the macro story that we started some time ago to build a new business model, sustainable business model in the region. It's fair to say that in the first half year, the results of the results were still subdued, because this transformation is also hitting a more difficult macro environment, particularly in some of the markets where the changes have been deeper. That said, I think that we are actually relatively confident that going forward, and we are starting to see this as well, our second half year performance in Asia should start improving. Should start improving quite markedly.
And are you in the position to comment also on the order backlog, or do you prefer not to provide any indication? At the end of June, I mean, just to have some indication on the entry speed into Q3.
What I said was that we recovered, let's say, largely the backlog. Then, in terms of growth points, what I mentioned was, you know, about a third of the going forward portfolio growth and a third of the total growth in the quarter was driven by backorder recovery. There's still a little bit left that we will recover. We have recovered in July, and that we will finish recovering, let's say, in August. You know, the important thing is that as we recover this, then it gives us the momentum and the freedom, let's say, to increase also the speed of new order collection, because obviously customers, as they're getting back orders filled, are now again in the position to place more new orders.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Andrea Bonfa from Aletti Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, good evening to everybody. My question is related once again to the growth you achieved in the second quarter and on your comment regarding the fact that for the first time the going forward brands offset the fall of Gucci and other brands going to be dismissed. And I would like to have your view on what are your expectations on the second half of the year, if you still expect that a similar performance and hence report, let's say, a positive volume growth also for the next couple of quarters before the termination of the Gucci license is, let's say, complete from a nominal standpoint. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the question. I think what we were basically referring to is that all in all, in the second quarter, we managed to slightly grow the top line at 2%. So basically with everything that we achieved on the going forward portfolio growing 9%, we were able to more than offset the decline of Gucci and the fact that we still had obviously some sales of the small Kering brands in the base period. I think that what we are aiming for the year remains what we have said before. We need to continue to balance those two currents. So on the one hand, the decline of Gucci in its final year of the license, and on the other side, the acceleration of our going forward portfolio. I think it's fair to say it's difficult to exactly predict, but I think that you know, now that we're entering into the last 6 months of the license, I think the headwinds of Gucci probably will be a bit more significant. And at the same time, our full focus is to grow the brands that will stay with us, so that we can steer it as well as possible into this balanced position for the year.
And thank you. If I may, a final question. Is it possible to have the breakdown of your financial charges, in particular what was the contribution of the mark-to-market of your bond?
Yes, it is on the chart that we shared. I will just re-mention the numbers. So we had basically a 4.9 million charge in 2015, half year one, and we had a 3.3 million let's say positive effect in half year one of 2016.
Okay, sorry, I missed that. Sorry about that. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Cedric Rossi from Bryan Garnier. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good evening to everyone. I've got three questions, please. The first one is on Gucci. So as you said, you are expecting a higher headwind in H2. Can you just remind us what Gucci account for your sales? I remember that it was around a little bit less than 20% at the end of 2015. So if you can give you a magnitude of and the percentage of sales that Gucci account for. The second question is that regarding the acceleration you had in Q2, if you can just share with us what were the best performing brands, and especially if you are satisfied with the performance of Givenchy and Swatch. And my third question is just a follow-up on Domenico's questions regarding the inventories. Don't you expect, or maybe if you don't you fear a slight increase in the obsolescence cost in H2, given the increase in the inventories, or are you satisfied with this level? Thank you.
Okay. I think on the first question, what is the weight of Gucci? It is indeed consistent with what we said before. It is hovering around 17%-16% of group sales. In terms of the brand portfolio performance, I would say that we had a very strong performance of the licensed brand portfolio, and I think what remains very pleasing is that it is a very broad-based performance across licenses. We've had a very good semester on our foundation, which is Dior. We had a very good semester on our rocket brands, Celine, Jimmy Choo, Fendi. We also had the good performance on, let's say, the majority or a good chunk of our future core brands in the semester. There we are quite pleased. With regards to the new licenses, Givenchy, we got started. We are mainly in Europe and in North America, and I think we are pleased with where we are. The key on Givenchy is now that we are launching the next collection, which is the August collection, to come with a broader and wider lineup of styles to further broaden the appeal of the brand. It's a sequential approach to the launch. And we are very happy with Swatch. In fact, Swatch is already having a very meaningful impact in the first half of the year. You will probably see it in many Swatch stores across the world or when you travel. I think we are very happy with that. We also started just now in the majority of our own Solstice network. It will take a bit more time to read the results more meaningfully. So far, we are pleased. With regards to obsolescence, the point I think is an important one. I would say that we have seen some higher obsolescence already in the first half year. Of course, as on the one hand, Gucci sales become slower, then we have to manage carefully the stock. There's also the situation East where the sales have declined in the last 18 months, so obviously the stock that is there needs to be managed. I think that where we are with the provision that we have on the balance sheet, I think we are satisfied. You see the coverage of the gross inventory is quite, and so we need to stay on the second half on this one.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, I have additional question. The first is related to the renewal of the agreement with Celine. When I'm trying to understand when should we expect some news, because we are really approaching the expiry. Second question is related to retail. In particular, well, you are stressing that your core business more and more is wholesale, and you are the struggling retail business. I wonder if you have any update on your strategic view on this asset. On the other hand, probably is not the best time to try to divest this asset, if it's your opinion. Well, that's it.
Thank you, Domenico, for your questions. I think on the first one, you can expect that our discussions will yield some news in the second half of the year. We are working on this, and we have nothing conclusive to report today yet. We'll clearly expect to reach conclusions in the second half. On Solstice and our strategic core focus being wholesale, I can confirm that that is our view, and we state it very clearly. Naturally, we are focused in Solstice on addressing the current business situation as much as we can. You have mentioned it. There's also an external context that is clearly making this difficult. that we are working full on to make sure that, you know, store by store, we have the right assortment, we have the right merchandising, we have the right in-store personnel engagement. But as I also confirmed and reconfirmed today, of course, we are looking at all strategic options.
And can I ask you a final comment on what's your view on the U.S. Consumer environment? So we are trying to understand there is really some sharp slowdown, both for, say, sun and prescription, but particularly for sun.
We have seen that in some of our customers, the trading is difficult. We have also seen that eyewear, and in particular sun as a category, is suffering less. And we are pleased to report that in our customers, our fast-growing brands are also growing, continuing to grow fast and outgrowing quite considerably the category as it is. We are seeing in Solstice a difficult trading environment with less traffic than we were used to. But we're also clear that as we start the second half, we are now starting to cycle against the base that is low because our difficulties started exactly a year ago in Solstice. So we need to watch out and understand, but clearly the external environment is challenging.
And did I understand correctly that you were mentioning that you are growing in department stores, so in terms of sales? In
yes, absolutely, and very strongly so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Gianle Capaccini from Banca IMI. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Just two questions on my side. The first one is on your CapEx activity. You are accelerating a little bit on that. I would like to understand with you if your target for full year is still the same for around 45 million for this year and next year. And the second one is if you could help us in elaborate the fair value of equity link bond and the FX effect you are expecting for the second half of this year. Thank you.
Okay, I think with regards to the CapEx, so the where are we investing the CapEx? It remains the key areas of the product supply network reinvention. So this is both the capacity. But also technology, and the second front is the IT. Our aim for this year actually is to increase our CapEx investments, so we actually expect to be higher than what we invested in, last year. This is not to say that we will exceed the amount of CapEx that we earmarked for the 2020 plan, but we will accelerate it into this year. So I see the number quite a bit higher than last year, which doesn't mean a negative free cash flow, but it means that we will reinvest more of the operating flow into CapEx. With regards to the other question on the equity linked bond, let me put it this way: the actual value of the liability is now close to zero, so it's about 300,000 euros that is left on the balance sheet. So it cannot go further down, really. Obviously, if the stock price changes direction. You know, the impact will be the opposite. So this is always an item that is going to have some volatility, some book volatility on our earnings. But by now, it is basically fully depreciated. With regards to the net exchange rate difference, this is a very important swing compared to last year. We had a big let's say net negative difference. Driven by the Brazilian real in the first quarter of last year. I would say that this year the currency dynamics have been more benign, so the real is a bit stronger, has helped us a little bit here on the euro dollar, which is one of our main exposures. We have been quite well hedged, so I actually don't expect any significant swings of this position in the rest of the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, sorry. I had a third question. I wasn't able to remember. It was related to the A&P performance. So I will try to understand how was the A&P investment, A&P cost in the first half compared to last year.
So with regards to the advertising and promotion cost in the first year, so as we said in the call, we've been quite focused on investing our money in the places where we have the highest probability of a return. So in terms of overall A&P investments in the first half year, it's a number that is below the half year one of last year. And in half year one of last year, we obviously launched a lot of the programs on our proprietary brands. So this year we're being much more selective because clearly the sales growth as a return of those investments didn't materialize. So now we're really focusing on those countries and those brands combinations where it makes most sense. So even though there is a decreasing, let's say, euro spending compared to last year, we believe that the way the money is spent is actually better, is actually smarter.
And so we can probably expect that the trend will continue. So you're still carefully watching and monitoring.
Correct.
How to spend and where to spend.
Yep.
Yeah,
that is
if I may add, the name of the game in marketing spending is ROI, and it's digital. And the combination of both allows us to be much, much more efficient with our spending.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Riccardo Romlate from One Investments. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good evening. Just one question from my side. What can you share with us in terms of sellout trends for Q2 and maybe also going into July, which is an important month for the sunglass business? Thank you.
Yeah,
on July, we can talk about sell-in, perhaps, just a bit as a trend. On quarter two, in terms of sell-out,
I think I would say, a bit more broadly about the first half year. Where we do have more robust data, let's say, is particularly in Europe. Here we're actually gaining market share, so we're doing well in a number of countries, primarily, let's say, France and more the northern European markets, while also in the total EU5, let's say, we are growing share. From what we know in the US, we believe that we are growing share. The data is not as reliable as elsewhere, but from the data that exists, it is positive. I think the one channel that we are notably suffering is the sports channel in the U.S., which is down actually quite significantly in the first half year. And even though we are growing share with all our brands here, the channel decrease is actually quite significant, so impacting all of the players of the market.
Maybe if I may add, as a qualitative perspective, with our new way of working commercially, which you know we have been implementing over the past 2.5 years, which is aimed at quality distribution, targeted according to the brand, to the strategy of every brand, and not making big deals that just clog up the customer and his stock, we are very confident today that with this new way of working, sellout, enabled, of course, by very strong trade marketing progress, actually results in sell-in actually results in sell-out, and as a consequence, when we get reorders, we have a system that really works in a very virtuous way. So when our sell-in really grows and accelerates, as we have seen, reorders following, it means really that sell-out is happening because we don't do any more big deals that just clog up the system. And I think that's the benefit of working on the one side with Smile, with more customers, but on the other side, having totally changed our commercial strategy, practices, trade terms, and the way we work.
So then I assume that the reorders are following
July.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
I'm very, very pleased about that. You also have probably noticed that in some countries in Europe, the sun started to shine, and therefore also more activity as a consequence.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Well, then we thank you for your participation and wish you a good evening. Thank you very much.